Hi, Angels. It's Willow. I think we are on 13. I think it's 13 because I'm pretty sure last time was a dozen. I am back with another reading of Dante Alighieri's The Divine Comedy from the book Inferno. We're starting with Canto 31 today, and I'm almost positive there's only 36 cantos? Or is it 34? Let me check, because I might just finish it today if there's only 34. Might just make it a long one. Oh, there's only 34. Fuck. I might just make this a long one and just finish it. Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see how I feel. Because normally I do 2 to 3, and it would, like, I was planning on doing 3. And if I just have one left, that would be weird. All right, we'll see. We'll see. You know by now from reading the title. If it says 31 to 34, then we're done. Anyway, if you haven't heard the original recordings of this and the ones that predate it, I suggest you listen to them before you listen to this, because it's going to be super fucking confusing. They are pinned in the media channel of my Discord server. They're at the very bottom of the Safe for Work audio index that is pinned on my Reddit profile, and they're on Twitter if you can scroll through all of my shitposting tits and D&D content. This is a really confusing piece of literature. I super understand that. Even I'm confused sometimes, and I'm reading it from the book. If you have the book, I suggest that you read it along with me. I'm reading the Longfellow translation, and that being said, we should acknowledge that this audio was originally written in Latin, and there's a lot of locations and names that I don't know, and I will stumble through and trip over, and I'll probably get annoyed with it sometimes, because sometimes I throw little tantrums about whomst, whenst, and whatst. Why do they all have an ST at the end? Anyway, this is also the part of the audio where I ask you super politely to be polite to me. I'm going to stumble over my words, like I said before. This is not an audiobook. If you're looking for an audiobook, I strongly suggest you Google it. There's probably some really sexy, deep-voiced man that can practically sing you to sleep reading this piece of work. I'm not that. I'm Willow. I'm a mess, and treat this like a friend reading to you. You knew what you were getting in for when you got here. I am cozy in bed. I have something to drink. I have my glasses on, I have the TV on for light, I have some other stuff, and I am ready to go. I think that's all I need to tell you guys. I've never been so succinct getting through an intro, but we're starting with Canto 31 and the little bits under it. So, oh, I don't have my glasses on. Holy shit, I said I had my glasses on. I fully do not. Wow. I looked at the text and was like, wow, that's small. Anyway, my glasses are on now. I'm comfortable. Canto 31, the blurb under it says, the giants, Nimrod, Ephelides, sure, and Antaeus, and then the descent into Cocytus. Guys, I just am here to fucking doing my best. All right. One in the selfsame tongue first wounded me, so that it tingled on the cheek of the other, and then held out to me the medicine. Thus I do hear that once Achilles' spear, his and his father's, used to be the cause first of a sad and then gracious boon. We turned our backs upon the wretched valley, upon the bank that girds it round about, going across it without any speech. There it was, less than night and less than day, so that my sight went little in advance, but I could hear the blare of a loud horn, so loud it would have made each thunder faint, which, counter to it following its way, mine eyes directed wholly to one place. After the dolorous discomfiture, when Charlemagne the holy emprise lost, so terribly Orlando sounded not, short while my head turned thitherward, I held when many lofty towers I seemed to see, whereat I, master, say, what town is this? Oh, I'm sitting uncomfortably. Sorry, guys. And he to me, because thou peerest forth at worth the darkness too great a distance, and happens that thou errest in thy fancy, we shalt. Well shalt thou see, if thou arrivest there, how much the sense deceives itself by distance. therefore a little faster spur thee on. Then, tenderly, he took me by the hand, and said, Before we farther have advanced, that the reality may seem to thee less strange, know that these are not towers, but giants, and they are in the well, around the bank, from navel downward, one and all of them. As, when the fog is vanishing away, little by little doth the sight refigure whatever the mist that crowds the area conceals, so piercing that through the dense and darksome air, more and more near approaching toward the verge, my error fled, and fear came over me, because as on its circular parapets, Mont Tarragon crowns itself with the towers. Even thus the margin which surrounds the well, with one half of their bodies turreted, the horrible giants, whom Jove menaces even now from out the heavens when he thunders. And if I of one already saw the face, shoulders and breast, and great part of the belly, and down along his sides both of the arms. Certainly nature, when she left the making of animals like these, did well indeed by taking such executors from Mars. And if of elephants and whales she doth not repent her, whosoever looketh subtly, more just and more discreet, will hold her for it. For where the argument of intellect is added unto evil will and power, no rampart can the people make against it. His face appeared to me as long and large as is at Rome the pine cone of St. Peter's, and the proportion were the other bones. So that the margin, which an apron was down from the middle, showed so much of him above it, that to reach up to his hair, three fire slanders in vain had vaulted them. For I beheld 30 great palms of him, down from the place where the man of his mantle buckles. Raphael me amici ziba almi. Cool. I love when it just is Latin. Began to clamor the ferocious mouth, to which we were not befitting sweeter psalms. And unto him my guide, soul idiotic, keep to thy horn, and vent thyself with that, when wrath or other passion touches thee. Search round thy neck, and thou wilt find the belt which keeps it fastened, O bewildered soul, and see where it bars thy mighty breast. Then said to me, He doth himself accuse. This one is Nimrod, by whose evil thought one language in the world is still not used. Here let us leave him, and so not speak in vain. For even such to him is every language as is to others, which to none is known. Therefore a longer journey did we make, turn to the left, and across bow shot oft, we found another far more fierce and large. In binding him, who might the master be, I cannot say, but he had pinioned close behind the right arm and in front of the other, with chains that held him so begirt about from the neck down, that on the part uncovered the wound itself as far as the fifth gyre. This proud one wished to make an experiment of his own power against the supreme Jove, my leader said, whence he is such a Gerdian. Ephelates is his name. He showed great prowess. What time the giants terrified the gods, the arms he wielded never more he moves. And I to him, if possible, I should wish that the measureless Briareus, these eyes of mine might have experienced. Whence he replied, Thou shalt behold Antaeus, close by here, who can speak and is unbound, who at the bottom of all crime shall place us. Much further yon is he whom thou wouldst see, and he is bound and fashioned like to this one, save that he seems in aspect more ferocious. There never was an earthquake of such might that it could shake a tower so violently as Ephelates suddenly shook himself. Then I was more afraid of death than ever, for nothing more was needful than fear, if I had not beheld the manacles. Then we proceeded further in advance, and unto Antaeus came, who, full five ells without the head, forth issued from the cavern. O thou, who in this valley fortunate, which Scipio, the heir of glory made, when Hannibal turned back with all his hosts, once brought'st 1,000 lions for thy prey, and who, hadst thou been at the mighty war among thy brothers, some, it seems, still think that the sons of earth the victory would have gained. Place us below, nor be disdainful of it, there where the cold doth lock Coctius up. Make us not go to Titus nor Typhius. This one can give of that which here is longed for. Therefore I stoop down, and do not curl thy lip. Still in the world can he restore thy flame. Oh, fame. Because he lives, and still expects long life, if to itself grace call him not untimely. So said the master, and in haste the other. I have hair in my mouth. His hands extended and took up my guide. Hands whose great pressure Hercules once felt. Virgilus, when he felt himself embraced, said unto me, draw nigh, that I may take thee. Then of himself and me on one bundle made, as seems the Carisenda to behold beneath the leaning side, when goes a cloud above it, so that opposite it hangs. Such did Antaeus seem to me, who stood watching to see him stoop, and then it was I could have wished to go some other way. But lightly in the abyss which swallows up Judas with Lucifer, he put us down, nor thus bowed downward made he there delay, but as a mast does in a ship uprose. This art is fucking gorgeous. All right, I'm going to take a drink, and we're going to continue on. Oh, yeah, that's why I marked the page. Guys, I desperately need to crack my back. It's not happening. Okay. And I almost thought to crack my toes, but it would be right in your ears, and that's kind of gross. All right. Canto 32. The Ninth Circle, Traitors. The Frozen Lake of Cocytus. The First Division, Caina, Traitors of Their Kindred. Chemision di Pazzi, the Second Division, and Antenora, Traitors of Their Country. Dante questions Boca degli Abati. This is going to be one that I stumble through. And the last one is Buoso da Duera. Oh, Christ. Okay. Here we go. If I had rhymes both rough and stridous, as were appropriate to the dismal hole down upon which thrust all of the other rocks, I would press out the juice of my conception more fully, but because I have them not without fear I bring myself to speak. For 'tis no enterprise to take in jest, to sketch the bottom of all the universe, nor for a tongue that cries mama and babo. But may those ladies help in this verse of mine, who held Amphion in enclosing Thebes, that from the fact of the world be not diverse. O rabble ill-begotten above all, who are in the place to speak of which is hard, 'twere better ye had here been sheep or goats. When we were down within the darksome well, beneath the giant's feet, but lower far, and I was scanning still the lofty wall, I heard it said to me, look how thou steppest. Take heed thou do not trample with thy feet the heads of the tired, miserable brothers. Whereat I turned me round and saw before me and underfoot a lake, that from the frost the semblance had of glass and not of water. The thick veil never made upon its current. In wintertime, Danube in Austria, nor there beneath the frigid sky in dawn, as there was here, so that if Tambrinich had fallen upon it, or Pytrapana, even at the edge, would have not given a creak. And as to croak, the frog doth place himself with muzzle out of water, when is dreaming of gleaning oftentimes the peasant girl, livid as far down as where shame appears, where the disconsolate shades within the ice, setting their teeth unto the note of storks, each one of his countenance held downward bent, from mouth the cold, from eyes the doleful heart among them witness of itself procures. When round about me somewhat I had looked, I downward turned me, and saw two so close, the hair upon their head together mingled. "Ye who so strain your breasts together, tell me," I said, "who are you?" And they bent their necks, and when to me their faces they had lifted, their eyes, which first were only moist within, gushed over their eyelids, and the frost congealed the tears between, and locked them up again. Clamp never bound together wood with wood so strongly, whereat, like two he-goats butted together, so much wrath overcame them. And one, who had by reason of the cold lost both his ears, still with his visage downward, said, "Why dost thou so mirror thyself in us? If thou desire to know who these two are, the valley whence Bicenzio, descends belong to them and their father Albert. They from one body came, and all C-A-I-N-A. Now you'll figure it out in your head. Thou shalt search through, and shalt not find a shade more worthy to be fixed in gelatine. Oh, what a weird way to spell gelatin. Not he in whom were broken breast and shadow at one and the same blow by Arthur's hand. Focaccia not he who encumbers me, so with his head I see no further forward, and bore the name of Cecil Mascheroni. Well knowest thou who he was, if thou art Tuscan, and that thou put me not to further speech. Know that I, Camision de Pazzi, was, and wait Carlino to exonerate me. Then I beheld 1,000 faces, made purple with cold, whence over me comes a shudder, and evermore will come at frozen ponds. And while we were advancing towards the middle, where everything of weight unites together, and I was shivering in the eternal shade, where, whether 'twere will or destiny or chance, I know not, but in walking among the heads, I struck my foot hard in the face of one. Weeping, he growled, "Why dost thou trample me, unless thou comest to increase the vengeance of Monteparti? Why dost thou molest me?" And I, "My master, now wait here for me, that I through him may see issue from a doubt. Then thou mayest hurry me as thou wish." The leader stopped, and to that one I said, who was blaspheming vehemently still, "Who art thou, that thou reprehendest others? Now who art thou that goest through Ancenora smiting?" replied he, "other people's cheeks, so that if thou wert living, 'twert too much." "Living I am, and dear to thee it may be," was my response, "if thou demandest fame, that mid the other notes thy name I place." And he to me, "For the reverse I long, take thyself hence, and give me no more trouble, for ill thou knowest to flatter in this hollow." And then by the scalp behind I seized upon him, and said, "It must need be thou name thyself, or not a hair remain upon thee here." Whence he to me, Though thou strip off my hair, I will not tell thee who I am, nor show thee, if on my head 1,000 times thou fall." I had his hair in hand already twisted, and more than one shock of it had pulled out, he barking, with his eyes held firmly down. When cried another, "What doth ail thee, Boca? It's not enough to clatter with thy jaws, but thou must bark? What devil touches thee? Now, said I care not to have thee speak, accursed traitor, for unto thy shame I will report of thee voracious news. Begone, replied he, and tell what thou wilt, but be not silent, if thou issue hence, of him who had just now his tongue so prompt. He weepeth there the silver of the French. I saw, thus cannot phrase it, him of Duera, there where the sinners stand out in the cold. If thou shouldest questioned be who else was there, thou hast beside thee him of Beccaria, of whom the Gorge Florence slit asunder. Gianni del Soldanier, I think, may be yonder with Ganelon and Tibaldello, who oped Faenza when the people slept.
God!
Okay. Already we had gone away from him, when I beheld two frozen in one hole, so that one head a hood was to the other. Even as the bread through the hunger is devoured, the uppermost on the other set his teeth. There where the brain is at the nape to the nape united. Not in another fashion Titus gnawed the temples of Menelippus in disdain than that one did the skull of other things. O thou, who showest by such bestial sign thy hatred against him whom thou art eating, tell me wherefore, said I, with this compact, that if thou rightfully of him complain, in knowing who ye are and his transgression, I in the world above repay thee for it. If that wherewith I speak be not dried up. Okay. Two more cantos. I think we're just gonna fucking go for it. I think I'm just gonna get the last two. Get drink. Check message. Okay. We're on canto 33. All right, ribbon. Okay, guys. This one says, Count Ugolino and the Archbishop Ruggieri, death of Count Ugolino's sons, third division of the ninth circle, Ptolemaia, traitors to their friends, Friar Albergio, Branco di Oria. Yep. All right. His mouth uplifted from his grim repast, that sinner, wiping it upon the hair of the same head that he behind was wasted. Then he began, Thou wilt that I renew the desperate grief, which wrings my heart already to think of only, ere I speak of it. But if my words be seed that may bear fruit of infamy to the traitor whom I know, speaking and weeping shalt thou see together. I know not who thou art, nor by what mode thou hast come down here, but a Florentine thou seemest to me truly when I hear thee. Thou hast to know I was Count Ugolino, and this one was Ruggieri, the Archbishop. Now I will tell thee why I am such a neighbor, that, by effect of his malicious thoughts, trusting in him I was made a prisoner, and after put to death, I need not say. But nevertheless, what thou canst not have heard, that is to say, how cruel was my death. Here shalt thou, and shalt know if he has wronged me. A narrow perforation in the mew, which bears because of me the title Famine, and in which others still must be locked up, had shown me through its opening many moons already, when I dreamed the evil dream which of the future rent for me the veil. This one appeared to me as lord and master, hunting the wolf and whelps upon the mountain for which the Pisians cannot Luca see. With sleuth-hounds gaunt and eager and well-trained, Gwellandi with Sismondi and Lanfiachi had sent out before him to the front. After brief course seemed unto me forespent, the father and his sons, and with sharp tushes it seemed to me I saw their flanks ripped open. When I before the morrow was awake, moaning amid their sleep, I heard my sons who were with me, and asking after bread. Cruel indeed art thou, if yet thou grieve not, thinking of what my heart forebode me, and weepest thou not, what art thou wont to weep at? They were awake now, and the hour drew nigh at which our food used to be brought to us, and through his dream was each one apprehensive. I heard locking up under the door of the horrible tower, where at my word I gazed into the faces of my sons. Let me switch my legs, guys. I can still see you while I do this. All right, cool. I wept not. I within so turned to stone. They wept. And darling little Anselm mine said, thou dost gaze so. Father, what doth ail thee? Still not a tear I shed, nor answer made all of that day, nor yet the night thereafter, until another sun rose on the world. As now a little glimmer made its way into the dolorous prison, and I saw upon four faces my very own aspect. Both of my hands in agony I bit, and, thinking that I did it from desire of eating, on a sudden they uprose, and said they, Father, much less pain 'twill give us if thou dost eat of us. Thyself didst clothe us with this poor flesh, and do thou strip it off. I calmed me then, not to make them more sad. That day we were all silent, and the next, obdurate earth, wherefore didst thou not open? When we had come unto the fourth day, Gatto threw himself outstretched before my feet, saying, my father, why dost thou not help me? And there he died, and, as thou seest me, I saw the three fall one by one, between the fifth day and the sixth, whence I betook me, already blind to groping over each, and 3 days called them after they were dead. Then hunger did what sorrow could not do. Oh, that's some gruesome art. All right. When he had said this, with his eyes distorted, the wretched skull resumed he with his teeth, which, as a dog's upon the bone, were strong. Ah, peace of thou, Oberium, of the people, of the fair land where the sea doth sound, since slow to punish thee thy neighbors are. Let Capria and Gorgona move, and make a hedge across the mouth of Arno, that every person in thee it may drown. For Count Ugolino had the fame of having in thy castles three betrayed. Thou shouldest not on such cross have put his sons, guiltless of any crime, though modern thieves. Their youth made Eugacion and Brigada, and other two my song doth name above thee. We pass still farther onward, where the ice another people so ruggedly enswath, not downward turned, but all of them reversed. Weeping itself there does not let them weep. And grief that finds a barrier in the eyes turns itself inward to increase the anguish, because the earliest tears a cluster form, and in the manner of crystal visor, fill all the cup beneath the eyebrow full. And notwithstanding that, as in a callous, because of cold, all sensibility its station had abandoned in my face. Still it appeared to me I felt some wind, whence I, my master, who sets this in motion? Is it not below here every vapor quenched? Whence he to me? Full soon shalt thou be where thine eye shall answer make to thee of this. seeing the cause which raineth down the blast. And one of the wretches of frozen crust cried out to us, O soul so merciless that the last post is given unto you, lift from mine eyes the rigid veils, that I may vent the sorrow which impregns my heart a little, ever the weeping recongeal. Whence I to him, if thou wouldst have me help thee, say who thou wast, and if I free thee not, may I go to the bottom of the ice. Then he replied, I am Friar Albergio, he am I of the fruit of the bad garden, who here a date am getting for my fig. Oh, I said to him, now art thou too dead? And he to me, how may my body fare up in the world, no knowledge I possess. Such an advantage has this Ptolemia, that oftentimes the soul descendeth here, sooner than Atropos in motion sets it, and that thou mayest more willingly remove from my countenance these glassy tears, know that as soon as any soul betrays, as I have done, his body by a demon is taken from him, who thereafter rules it, until his time has wholly been revolved. Itself down rushes into such cistern, and still perchance above appears the body of yonder shade, that winters here behind me. This thou shouldest know, if thou hast just come down. It is Sir Branca d'Oria, and many years have passed away since he was thus locked up. I think, said I to him, dost thou deceive me? For Branca d'Oria is not dead as yet, and eats and drinks and sleeps and puts on clothes. In the moat above, he said, of Millbranch, there where is boiling the tenacious pitch, as yet had Michael Zanch not arrived, when this one left a devil in his stead, in his own body, and one near of kin, who made together with him the betrayal. But hitherward stretch out thy hand forthwith, and open mine eyes. And open them I did not, and to be rude to him was courtesy. Ah, Genoas, ye men at variance with every virtue, full of every vice, wherefore are ye not scattered from the world? For with the vilest spirit of Romagna, I found of you one such, who for his deeds and soul already cocytus bathes, and still above in body seems alive. Alright, I'm just gonna go right in to 34, because it's the last one. So we're just gonna fucking go for it, and then we're gonna be done. And I'm gonna give you a little ramble about what we're doing next. Fourth division of the ninth circle, the Judeca, traitors of their lords and benefactors, Lucifer, Judas Iscariot, Brutus and Cassius, the Chasm of Lethe, and the Ascent. Vexilla regis produent inferni. Towards us, therefore, look in front of thee, my master said, if thou discernest him. As when there breathes a heavy fog, or when our hemisphere is darkening into night, appears far off a mill the wind is turning. Methought that such a building when I saw, and for the wind I drew myself behind my guide, because there was no other shelter. Now was I, with the fear in verse I put it, there were the shades who were wholly covered up, and glimmered through like unto straws in glass. Some prone or lying, others stand erect. This with the head, and that one with the soles, another, bow-like, face to feet inverts. When in advance so far we had proceeded, that it my master pleased to show me the creature who once had the beauteous semblance. He from before me moved and made stop, saying, behold this, and behold the place where thou with fortitude must arm thyself. How frozen I became and powerless then, ask it not, reader, for I write it not, because all language would be insufficient. I did not die, and I alive remained not. Think for thyself now. Hast thou aught of wit? What I became of being both deprived. The emperor of the kingdoms, Dolores, from his mid-breast forth issued from the ice, and better with a giant I compare. Then do the giants with those arms of his. Consider now how great must be that whole which unto such a part conforms itself, where he is fair once, as he now is foul, and lifted up his brow against his maker. Well may proceed from him his tribulation. Oh, what a marvel it appeared to me, when I behold three faces on his head. The one in front, and that vermilion was. Two were the others, that were joined with his above the middle part of either shoulder, and they were joined together at the crest. And the right hand one seemed twixt white and yellow, and the left was such to look upon as those who come from where the Nile falls valleyward. Underneath each came forth two mighty wings, such as befitting were so a great bird. Sails over the sea I never saw so large. No feathers had they, but as of a bat, their fashion was, and he was waving them, so that three winds proceeded forth therefrom. Thereby Cocytus wholly was congealed, with six eyes he did weep, and down three chins trickled the teardrops and bloody drivel. At every mouth he with his teeth were crunching, a sinner, and in the manner of a break, so that he three of them tormented thus. To him in front of the biting was a knot unto the clawing, for sometimes the spine, utterly stripped of all the skin, remained. That soul up there which has the greatest pain, the master said, is Judas Iscariot. With head inside, he plies with legs without. Of the two others, who head downward are, the one who hangs from the black jaw is Brutus. See how he writhes himself and speaks no word. And the other, so stalwart seems, is Caecius. But night is reascending, and 'tis time that we depart, for we have seen the whole. And seemed him good, I clasped him round the neck, and he the vantage seized of time and place. And when the wings were opened wide apart, he laid fast hold upon the shaggy sides, from fell to fell descended downwards between the thick hair and the frozen crust. When we were come to where the thigh revolves exactly on the thickness of the haunch, the guide, with labor and with hard-drawn breath, turned round his head where he had his legs, and grappled to the hair, as one who mounts so that to hell I thought we were returning. Keep fast thy hold, for by such stairs as these, the master said, panting as one fatigued, must we perforce depart from such evil? Then throughout the opening of a rock he issued, and down upon the margin seated me. Then towards me he outstretched his wary step. I lifted mine eyes and thought to see Lucifer in the same way I had left him, and I beheld him upward hold his legs. And if I then became disquieted, let stolid people think who do not see what the point is beyond which I had passed. Rise up, the master said. Upon thy feet, the way is long, and difficult the road, and now the sun to middle tierce returns. It was not any place corridor there where we were, but dungeon natural, with floors uneven and unease of light. Ere from the abyss I tear myself away, my master, said I when I had arisen, to draw me from their air, speak a little. Where is the ice? And how is this one fixed thus upside down? And how is such a short time from eve to morn has the sun made its transit? And he to me, thou still imaginest thou art beyond the center, where I grasp the hair of the fell worm who minds the world. That side thou wast, so long as I descended, when round I turned me, thou didst pass the point to which things heavy draw from every side. And now beyond the hemisphere art come opposite, that which overhangs the vast dry land, and neath whose corpse was put to death the man who without sin was born and lived. Thou hast thy feet upon the little sphere which makes the other face of Judeca. Here it is morn, when it is evening there. And he, who with his hair like stairway made us, still fixed remaineth as he was before. Upon his side he fell down out of heaven, and all the land that Willem here emerged, for fear of him, made of sea a veil, and come to our hemisphere, or peradventure, to flee from him. What on this side appears, left the place vacant here, and back recoiled. A place there is below, from Beelzebub as far as receding, as the tomb extends, which not by sight is known, but by sound, of a small rivulet, that there descendeth through the chasm within stone, which is gnawed with course, that winds about it and slightly falls. The guide and I into the hidden road now entered, to return to the bright world, and without care of having any rest, we mounted up, he first and I second, till I beheld through the round aperture some of the beauteous things that heaven doth bear. Thence we came forth to re-behold the stars. That's it. We made it through Inferno. I forgot how beautiful the end of that story is. It's quick. I forgot how fucking beautiful it is. This book has Purgatorio and Paradiso in it. Purgatorio would be next. I think I might take a break and then get back to Purgatorio, just because I find this to be one of the most difficult pieces of literature I could possibly read to you. I'm looking at my books right now. I think I might do The Giver next, or Animal Farm. I also have A Wrinkle in Time. But you guys let me know if you get to the end of this and you tell me what you want to listen to. I'm going to put a poll in Discord as well once I post this. So this is the end of Inferno. We made it to 13 parts, which feels like a pretty lucky number. Thanks for listening, guys. I love you a whole bunch, and look forward to seeing you in the next one. Sleep easy and take care of yourselves.